888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, I guess this afternoon we are not going to have Kathy O'Brien. We'd hope to have Kathy and Mark on our program, but no sign of them. So it's going to be open lines. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or just 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 here in the central coast of California. So if you're out there and you have something you'd like to talk about, give us a call. But I thought maybe I'd talk a little bit about Major General Anthony Taguba. And he was the highest ranking Filipino general in the United States military. And of course, he was on his way to becoming a lieutenant general, a full general, doing very, very well. And then, of course, he was asked to investigate what had happened at Abu Ghraib prison. Now, of course, Abu Ghraib prison, as you'll remember, was over in Baghdad. And of course, it's known, name gone down in infamy, because this was one of the first reports of Americans torturing prisoners. Now, this wasn't where the torturing had begun. The torturing writ had been going on for some time before Abu Ghraib and is still going on today, because it was back in February of the year 2002 when President George Bush issued a directive that said that people from the Taliban or people from Al-Qaeda were not to be considered military combatants and covered by the Geneva Convention. Since the Al-Qaeda had never subscribed to the Geneva Convention, and the Taliban had never subscribed to the Geneva Convention, therefore they were not covered for the Geneva Convention. Therefore, and the inference was, it's all right to torture them. They have no protection at all. Well, of course, this put the military into total disarray. I mean, the military, the American military, has always opposed anything of this sort because it's immoral, and that's not what America stands for. But here is the President of the United States issuing a directive that our prisoners we take do not have the rights to the prisoners under the Geneva Convention because they don't wear uniforms. Well, certainly the Taliban has never worn uniforms. The Al-Qaeda has never worn uniforms. Well, that sort of puts them into a special category, according to President Bush, and then they could be tortured. What people do not understand is that these are the philosophies that were put forward by a man named Niccolo Machiavelli. And Machiavelli talked about how the prince, the leader, would have to use cruelty and lies and deception to defeat the enemy. And of course, if the prince were to be successful, he was going to have to have wars, because wars are such an effective means of rallying the people behind the leader. And of course, what people do not understand is that the neoconservative movement really controls our government today. Certainly Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, Paul Wolfowitz, all of the key people in the Bush administration came from this neoconservative movement. One of their front groups was known as the Project for a New American Century, and you can get the names if you go to their website, newamericancentury.com. But the philosophy behind the neoconservatives is anything but conservatives. These people have embraced the philosophy of Trotskyism. They believe in the all-powerful state. They espouse the philosophies put forward by certainly by Plato and by Machiavelli, and then, of course, by one of their modern representatives and representatives, a man called Michael Ledeen, who's one of the chief foreign policy advisors to the American State Department. We'll be back here in just a moment. Welcome your calls, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and unfortunately our regularly scheduled guest is not here. So if you would like to call in, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But I was simply talking about the fact that what most people do not understand is that when the president says, oh, America does not torture prisoners, and when George Tenet says, America does not torture prisoners, and those of you who heard my interview with Douglas Feith, who was very high in the Defense Department, number two or three there, we were interviewing about his book on war and decisions, and he says, America doesn't torture prisoners. And then, of course, he gives this excuse, this lame excuse, which is what had come out of the president's office on February 20th or 22nd in 2002, saying that the people we capture from the Taliban or from Al-Qaeda are not considered prisoners. They're not considered military prisoners. Because they are not covered by the Geneva Convention, because Al-Qaeda and the Taliban didn't subscribe to the Geneva Convention. Well, of course, they weren't even around when the Geneva Convention was actually signed, so of course they wouldn't abide by it. But, I mean, certainly many times they treated our prisoners very, very well, and they would expect their prisoners to be treated well. But the president gave the authorization for torture at that time. And if you doubt that, you need to read the book. We're going to be interviewing Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez, and in his book, he tells you that basically when the president came out with that directive, he was authorizing torture, and that's exactly what happened. The military didn't know how to abide by it, but they were actually told to go ahead and torture the prisoners, totally contrary to everything America stands for. So when these people say we do not torture our military prisoners, that's right, but of course they do not consider the Taliban or the Al-Qaeda military prisoners. You have to understand they use words to conceal what they're doing. And the great tragedy of today is there's no outcry from the Christian leadership. Everybody knows that they're torturing prisoners, and most of these are innocent people who have been picked up inadvertently. They're not necessarily combatants at all. The government was paying $3,000 for anybody to turn in somebody else. An awful lot of people turned in people they didn't like or people they didn't even know because they wanted the $3,000. And we accumulated thousands of innocent people, and we tortured them, and many of them were tortured to death. And if you don't believe that, you need to read General Sanchez's book. You need to understand, of course, that these things are going on today, and there's no outcry from the American people. We'll be back here in just a moment, but remember, ladies and gentlemen, men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, we have no guests today, so it's going to be just you and me, and we invite your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We welcome your calls, and of course, we do hope that you'll give us a call if you have a question. If you have something you'd like to talk about, you don't have to talk about what I'm talking about, but this whole issue of torturing prisoners, and of course a lot of these people are just picked up casually for one reason or another, and they were taken to Abu Ghraib, they were taken to Guantanamo, and innocent people, imagine their screams, they had nothing to say, they had nothing to admit, and yet they were tortured anyway, and some of them were actually tortured to death. And you say that couldn't happen. We would hear about it. When you read Lieutenant General Sanchez's book, I'm about halfway through it, and he talks about how, I mean, very early on in the war, why in Afghanistan they actually beat two Afghanis to death with batons. Now these are your soldiers, you're paying for it, and you are responsible out there in the listening audience. And what are you saying about it? Oh, well, we don't want to be controversial. I mean, after all, we have to trust the president. He's a Christian president. Well, if he's a Christian president and really believes in, you know, in a pro-life position, why didn't, when he was the president and he had control of both houses of the legislature, why didn't he push legislation to do away with, you know, Roe versus Wade, and he didn't. He just absolutely refused to do that. All they had to do was pass a simple, they didn't need a supermajority. They had to have a majority of the people in both houses and put a stipulation on there that that the Supreme Court couldn't intervene, that Roe versus Wade was no longer applicable, and that it was up to the states to determine whether abortion was legal or not. And George Bush refused to try to do that. And you have to ask yourself, why? Well, under any circumstances, the official American policy, although they will not admit it, but it is that they allow torture. Because if you haven't read the Tacuba report, a report put out by Major General Tacuba, who was the highest-ranking Philippine officer in the American military. You really need to get it. It's up, available on the Internet, or we can provide it, although we would have to charge you because there's quite a bit of material there. And the things that were done by American soldiers to helpless men and women describes description, and I couldn't, of course, talk about this on family radio. And yet these things happen. It's all there in the Tacuba report. Now, General Tacuba was told before he did the report that if he told the truth, why it would cost him his military career. He was advised by superior officers. He told the truth, and he was ordered to resign from the military. And of course, you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that this is a sad commentary on the American military today, when field grade officers who tell the truth are ordered to resign. But this is exactly what happened to General Tacuba. So he gave a series of interviews to a man named Seymour Hersh. And Seymour Hersh wrote an article in the New Yorker magazine, where he actually said that General Tacuba, although he wasn't allowed actually to investigate above the command structure within Abu Ghraib and within Iraq, Major General Tacuba felt that the orders for the torture came from the Pentagon, if indeed not from the White House itself. And he made that statement, and of course it was published there in the New Yorker magazine. Well, of course, what brought this to mind was that recently I attended a meeting, meeting of the Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly's group. I was one of the speakers, and I ran into a woman who is running for Congress, or I guess she's running for the State Assembly, who lives up in San Francisco. And when I mentioned Major General Tacuba, she said he knew him. So I said, well, ask him if he'll come on our program. I would love to have Major General Tacuba come onto our program and tell what he knows about the torture of innocent people or even guilty people. But you don't torture people. This goes contrary to everything America believes. And she said she would, and I sort of didn't give it any more thought until I came across a card, put a call in for her just yesterday, and she called back just this morning, and she said she'd talk to Major General Tacuba about coming onto our radio program and talking about his investigation at the torture at Abu Ghraib prison. And he said, well, what had happened is they'd gone after his family. In other words, somebody in government had gone after endanger his family, and of course he wanted to protect his family, and so he could not come on the radio and go out and speak publicly again about what he knew about the torture. Now, who was it who would go after his family? What sort of human beings are we dealing with who would go after the family of a retired major general whose crime was he told the truth? And yet, of course, this is it. Well, he said maybe sometime in the future, but right now he is afraid to go on the radio and discuss what he found. And that's a pretty sad commentary on what's going on in America today. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And the question is, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to vote for a political candidate in November? John McCain says he thinks that waterboarding is torture. When Ahab was asked on 60 Minutes, why then were waterboarding and torturing prisoners? He said, well, I guess America's lost its way, and yet, of course, he's going to George Bush to get support from George Bush for his candidacy. Are you going to vote for Obama and Hillary, who are people who come with no moral foundation at all? Certainly Obama is a supporter of Reverend Wright and his racist policies. And, well, of course, you know where Hillary's coming from. The woman who knew that her husband was cheating on her and lied to the American people about it and accused the vast right-wing conspiracy of conspiring to get her husband over the Monica Lewinsky affair. I mean, which one of these disreputable people do you want? And the trouble is that they're not giving us any choice in November. Well, they never do. They always pick the candidates, both on the Democrat and the Republican Party ticket. And responsible, moral people like Congressman Ron Paul, who incidentally is still running on the Republican ticket for the presidency, is picking up votes all over the country. He got 25% of the Republican vote in Iowa. Did you hear about that? Did he read about it in any of the publications? Of course not. The media is controlled. They're not going to tell you the truth. They're not even going to mention people who stand for righteousness and God and love of family and country and love of freedom. People have given their life to that, as Congressman Ron Paul has. He'll get the conspiracy of silence from the controlled media. While, of course, Hillary and Obama and John McCain will be, of course, some of our newspapers support John McCain. Others support Hillary or Obama. And it's all to give you the idea that there's really some truth in the newspapers. The truth is they're all controlled by the same people, but they try to give you the idea that, you know, some are conservative and some are liberal and some are right and some are left and some are Republican and some are Democrat. The truth is it's a game. And it's all designed to confuse the American people and give them the impression that we're going to get the truth from the media, whereas, of course, we're not. You can see that beautifully here in California, where we have a proposition to do away with the government's ability to take away private property by eminent domain. And simply now, eminent domain, they need to build a school, they need to build a highway, a freeway. There's justification for it. But to give the property to a friend or a political supporter of somebody on the Board of Supervisors of the City Council, or simply to give it to a large corporation because you want that large corporation in your town to expand your tax base, do you think that's right? Well, Proposition 98 would have done away with that. In other words, it would have done away with the ability of local municipalities to take away your property right and take your property and give it to one of their friends or somebody that they thought could make better use of your property than you could. And I will tell you that every newspaper, every major newspaper in the entire state of California is against Proposition 98, which I believe is a very good thing, and supporting Proposition 99, which is a very bad thing. How could every newspaper be against Proposition 98? You would think that there might pretend to be a few that were supporting it, but the truth of the matter is, it's not so. Every newspaper, look at your local newspaper, understand they're opposing Proposition 98 because, of course, they don't believe in the right of private property. The major newspapers in California have been taken over people with a different worldview. As we pointed out many times before, the major media in the United States is controlled by five mega corporations: AOL, Time Warner, Bertelsmann, Viacom, Disney, and Fox, Rupert Murdoch, who incidentally just recently bought the Wall Street Journal. He owns Fox Media, of course, which they pretend to be conservative. Well, it's about as conservative as the Wall Street Journal has become. They want to give you the feeling you're hearing both sides, but in truth, you're not. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. We've got Kelly calling from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Hopefully we'll have her pass through very soon. Or, of course, if you'd like to call in, we'd love to talk to you as well. So let's go to Kelly here. Hi, Kelly. How are you doing?
Good, Dr. Stan. It's an honor to talk to you. The reason I kind of want to call and see what you think as far as, like, how things are going to go this summer, because I don't think things are going to be that good.
Well, I think that things are going to get a lot worse this summer, but I do believe, and we have this on fairly reliable information, that they're going to try to get the price of oil down and get the stock market up before the November election. After the November election, well, you can hang on to your hat, but you know, even though things don't look too good now and the price of oil is way up there, remember, it's all manipulated, it's all controlled, and they want to, of course, make people feel good before the election, so they'll vote for John McCain. That's what it's about. And hang on there. We'll be with you in just a moment. But right now we're going to have to go to a quick break, but you hang on. I'd like to know your thoughts on that. We'll be back in just a moment with Kelly from Coeur d'Alene. Again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Okay, Kelly, what are your thoughts?
I'm just thinking that the way things are set up, how Bush, once the crisis happens, doesn't have to step out of office, and then they have things like the North American Union coming up, and I think that's going to take some bad things to happen, and once these things do happen, I believe martial law, and once that happens, there's no turning around.
Well, I hope and pray that you're wrong. I don't really believe that George Bush is going to stage a coup, either to try to maintain his position in office, or create some sort of an incident to justify martial law. Certainly, anything is possible, but I do not think it's quite time as yet. Down the line, they may very well have that in their plans, but you know, it's just going to be very interesting to see what happens. But all I can do is tell you that the people in the know, the people who really know what's going on and really planning what's going on, are planning on lowering the price of oil and of course, getting the stock market up. We'll have to wait and see. I hope you're wrong and that I'm right. But who knows? I'm not a prophet at all. All right,
and
but remember,
I just want to say, Dr. Stan, we love you so much and we pray for you every night.
God bless you. Thank you so very much. Hey, that was
talking to you.
Okay. Bye bye. Well, that was Kelly calling from Coeur d'Alene. Of course, if you're out there in the listening audience, our telephone number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, and we'd love to hear from you. I'd love what you do and know what you think about what's going to happen the rest of this year. Love to know what you think about General de Cuba and the fact that they went after his family to silence him. Here's a major general, served our country, you know, faithfully and loyally, and of course this is a reward. Ordered to retire, and then his family comes under attack, and now he's afraid. A major general who's afraid to speak out. For fear that they will harm his family. This sort of thing happened in America? Sure it happens in America. I mean, after all, we saw what happened to a gentleman who ran to the wilderness, Michael Rupert. They infiltrated his office, and actually they had FBI informants there, and of course their job was to disrupt the records and simply, you know, to disrupt his billing records and to bankrupt him. Even his best friend, the man he really trusted as one of his best friends, was an FBI informant. And the same thing, of course, had happened to Pat Matriciana, who put out that DVD entitled The Clinton Chronicles, that was really responsible for the Republican win back in 1994, when the Republicans took over the House of Representatives. And, of course, this has been always been my impression, that Pat Matriciana's DVD on The Clinton Chronicles played an important part in that, and they infiltrated his organization. And I tried to warn him. I said, Pat, these guys are FBI informants. I know them because they were with Media Bypass, and they disrupted them. Well, he wouldn't believe me. And then he found out that even a man who was one of his best friends, who he'd even befriended and lent money to, was actually an FBI informant who talked him into putting something into one of his videos that got him sued. And, of course, had a devastating effect on Pat and his life has never been the same again. Understand that these are the games that they play in America today to people who try to get the truth out, and our job is to do the best we can and to look to the Lord for protection for ourselves and for our family. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. It's an open line, so we'd love to hear what you have to say. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And since we don't have anything at all prepared, I was hoping we were going to have Kathy and Mark, Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips on. Why, of course, we'd and wouldn't have to have anything prepared, but for one reason or another, we're not able to reach them. Under any circumstances, we certainly would hope you'd give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Otherwise, perhaps we could talk about one of the things that, of course, I'm doing at the present time is writing my next newsletter, and we're going into the background of the neoconservative movement. Now, neoconservative, doesn't that sound good? Don't you like to think that the neoconservatives control the White House? Well, of course, the neoconservatives are not conservative. They're Trotskyites, and they're disciples of a man named Leo Strauss, who taught at the University of Chicago back in the 1950s, 1960s, 1970s. And he indoctrinated his students, some of who are the leaders of the conservative movement today, with the idea that you needed an elite group to rule the world. And he taught his students that they were part of that elite group. And he taught them all about Plato. And what did Plato believe? He believed people couldn't actually control themselves, couldn't rule themselves. What you needed was a philosopher king, a ruthless ruler to control the population, and that was the only way you could have a successful society. Of course, Plato believed, and I believe he was absolutely right, that democracy always deteriorates into despotism, which is why the founding fathers of America did not create a democracy in the United States. They created a republic where the majority could never vote themselves and our nation into tyranny. That was the beautiful thing about this idea of being a republic. And if you have not yet read my pamphlet, it's called We Are a Republic. Let me suggest that you get it and you begin to analyze what's going on and you begin to understand why America is not a democracy, even though George Bush says we're a democracy, even though your elected representatives say we're a democracy. We are not. We are a republic. Because Plato said, and justifiably so, that, democracies always deteriorate into despotism. He wanted a dictator, and certainly that's what Machiavelli wanted, and of course Machiavelli and Plato were really the symbols of the neoconservative movement, and there were many of the people, key people, Irving Kristol, whose son, William Kristol, runs the one of the major newspapers today, incidentally financed by Rupert Murdoch. But of course, these people want an authoritarian society, but they can't tell the American people. So we got to talk about freedom and democracy. Well, let me tell you, we are establishing tyrannies throughout the world. If you substitute the word socialism for democracy, you'll understand what's going on. We are bringing socialist dictatorships to countries throughout the world. Well, our telephone number right now is 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. We've got Jerry calling from New Hampshire. Hi, Jerry. How you doing?
How you doing?
Doing fine.
I've been following this for about 30 years now.
Oh, okay, fine. Well, then you probably know a lot more about it than I do.
Not really. I mean, I wanted to know when the Antichrist is going to make his debut.
Well, I think he's out there someplace, but I don't know if he's going to make it, and I'm not going to make any predictions. But I believe, of course, if you've heard me, you know that I believe that everything going on today is aimed at creating a one-world government, a one-world religion, and enthroning a new world leader, and that, of course, is the Antichrist.
Right.
But I mean, when he's going to come, I believe everything is in place. It could be a matter of years. It could be a matter of months. We'll just have to wait and see.
One more question, though. Isn't he supposed to come in as like an angel of light?
That he is, of course. And if you read the Luciferian
to the world and this and that, and everybody's supposed to love him.
Yeah, absolutely. If you read the Luciferian publications like Cher magazine, like The Emergence, like the things out of the Lucius Trust, they will tell you that he is the angel of light, and he is preaching a gospel of love.
Yeah, I know.
But of course, that's not what he really wants. That's like the bait on the end of the hook, you know.
And once
you take the hook, why, you find out that bait really wasn't so good.
Right, especially after 3.5 years.
Right. So I think we're in for some difficult times. Truly, it is a spiritual battle. But of course, we've got to present it from a geopolitical point of view, because only then are we going to get a lot of people who are not Christians to listen. Hopefully, they'll begin looking for the answers and they'll come into a personal relationship with our Lord.
Right.
That's why I think our our whole thrust is different than that of most of the people out there, because we've got a lot of great ministers who preach the gospel. Of course, so many of them are pre-trib rapture, and all I can say is I don't know whether they're right or wrong. I hope they're right, but I'm not going to gamble on it.
I don't think so.
Okay. Anything else, Jerry, before we let you go?
No, that's it.
All right. God bless.
All right.
Well, we'll watch, and these are exciting times in the Lord, aren't they?
Oh, it's exciting, all right.
All right. Hang on. We'll be back in just a moment.
All right.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and let's go to Rick, who's calling from Texas, and we've got all sorts of people on the line, but if you'd like to call in, again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and is this Rick we got?
Yes.
Hi, Rick, how are you doing?
Hi, fine. You were going to have Kathy O'Brien on, and that's what I was going to call about, what I think could be mind control on over the airwaves. Through subliminals. I know this lady, she's kind of a backward lady, but she's real close to the Lord. But, I mean, she watches, you know, religious broadcasting and all that. But she was watching John Hagee. You know who John Hagee is, right? He's the guy that wrote the book that says Jesus wasn't the Messiah.
I don't know too much about Hagee's philosophy, but I don't like Hagee, so go ahead.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know that starting out that this guy, you know... But anyway, she said she didn't really follow him that much, but she said one televangelist, she heard the Holy Spirit tell her that this is my servant, and she said it was him. And so I started to think, wait a minute, I bet they're subliminally, through subliminal messages, putting that out through the airwaves, because it couldn't have been the Holy Spirit of God.
Well, I'm sure they do, Rick. I'm sure that they use television and they use radio to give us ideas and to mold our minds and to get us to believe certain things and want certain things. They know exactly how to do it.
You know, at the very end of one of his shows, I saw, and I was just changing channels. I wouldn't watch it, but the very end, after all the, you know, specials for a gift of $30, we'll give you this and all that, they had this Jewish guy that I think is what they consider the Messiah, the Jews, this guy with a real long beard, and he said, I bless you in my name. He was talking to the people that give to John Hagee. You believe that? And he was like a, you know, he had the religious garb on.
Well, I think there are a lot of people out there now who are actually claiming to be the Messiah. Certainly Reverend Moon, who's talked to the United States Senate, addressed the United States Senate, says he's the Messiah. And there's a fellow down in South America who says he's the Messiah. And there's another one in Pennsylvania who says that he's the Messiah. So we got a lot of false Christs out there. And, of course, we're told in the latter days we're going to see that.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, anything else, Rick?
Well, just I saw an ad for John McCain, and just... It must have dated from the early 70s because his hair was actually brown.
Right.
And he had a full head of hair, and I'm like, my goodness, I can't remember a presidential campaign where they have a campaign ad of the president about 25 or 30 years before. Can you imagine them running pictures of Nixon in the 70s?
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got John, Rick calling in from Texas, and just talking about a campaign ad of John McCain taken many years ago when his hair was brown. Well, I remember when George Herbert Walker Bush was running for the presidency, and they had pictures of him wearing his old flight jacket. Of course, made him look very young and very masculine. He was actually, I think, he was a fighter pilot during the Second World War. So, yeah, I can think that they'll use any trick at all to try to, of course, get people to vote for their candidate. Truth is not an issue here. It's all a matter of perception.
Do you really think they're trying to get McCain over one of the other people?
Yeah, I really do. But, you know, remember, I'm not a prophet either. I don't want people throwing stones at me, but I really think that the establishment wants to get McCain in, you know. And so that way we can have a Republican president and a Democrat, a Congress and Senate, and you know, and we'll be back where we were under Reagan and under Nixon.
Boy, that would be a dangerous time, though. That guy is crazy.
Well, I think that we are living in very dangerous times, and I believe that God is going to bring his judgment on this country through the leaders that we elect. And there are good people out there. People could certainly vote for Chuck Baldwin, Pastor Chuck Baldwin, running on the Constitution Party. They ought to start looking at it. Most people have a computer. You can go to your computer. You can look up Pastor Chuck Baldwin. Read the things that he says. Understand he's standing for righteousness. I know him personally. He's an honest man, and I can't say that for an awful lot of people today.
I'll stick with Ron Paul as long as he's in the race.
Oh, well, of course, as long as he's in the race. But realistically, now when the convention's over, he's going to be the philosophical leader. And believe me, Chuck Baldwin supports Ron Paul's positions. If Ron Paul was running on the Constitution Party, a ticket wide, Chuck Baldwin would be his greatest supporter. But since he's not going to do it, then, of course, we do have an alternative. Anything else before we let you go?
No, that should be it. Thank you.
God bless you. Let's go to Jim, who's calling from West Virginia. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we'll talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. Hi, Jim. What would you like to talk about?
Dr. Stan, I've been listening as long as you've been on a shortwave. You're the smartest man I've ever run into on a talk show.
Well, thank you so much.
I have a question for you.
All right. I don't know when I'll know the answer, but go ahead.
Well, just see if this is a good idea to you. If all the surveillance is good for us, our security, of course, I think it would be great for our government officials, for their security, of course, for us to keep a closer eye on them. Is anyone that you know of, let's say, setting up a database county by county of those who work for CPS and take children for their protection, of course? Now, if our government has a list of people of interest, maybe we need to start several of these. Does this sound like a good idea to you?
Well, I'll tell you what. If you start publishing the names and addresses of people who work for government, they'll come after you with a vengeance. You know very well that this whole surveillance, this whole war on terror is as phony as a $3 bill. If the war on terror were real and were really a threat from terrorism, they would have closed the southern border with Mexico on the 12th of September 2001. If the war on terror were legitimate, we would have armed air marshals on every plane rather than maybe 5% of the planes, maybe 10% at the most. If the war on terrorism were real, every pilot would be armed to protect the passengers on his plane, and the government's done everything they could to block the arming of pilots. I mean, if the war on terrorism was really true, they would be closely checking every container that came into this country. We would be guarding every reservoir. We would be guarding every chemical plant in this country, and we're not doing it. And we're not doing it because the people in power know that this is all as phony as a $3 bill. But they're using this to justify surveillance of the American people.
Well, I was kind of hoping that maybe someone, maybe in your audience, could start such a base as that.
I know where you're coming from, Jim, and I think it's a great talking point. But in reality, we've got to put our time in on doing something that is going to begin to reach the American people, because the most important thing we can do is try to educate the people who have no idea what's going on out there, and let them understand, you know, the true nature of this spiritual battle. And once they do, hopefully they're going to begin looking for answers.
Well, it is spiritual in nature. It's always been a battle between truth and lie, good and evil. But, you know, one thing which has helped me a lot to get across to people, I said, well, if 1 out of 10,000 people in America, living in America in 2001, had been an Islamic terrorist, then we should have seen about 25,000 of these people being paraded across the TV screen in chains and shackles. Where are the terrorists?
Well, of course, they keep trying to get him convicted. In fact, you remember that story about the fellow who wanted to, there were a whole crew of them, they wanted to bomb the Sears Tower. And there was a big, you know, day after day we'd hear about that. Well, they've tried these guys on two occasions. And every time they have a trial, the jury says, look, These guys weren't terrorists. They were actually being bribed by an FBI informant who was offering him $50,000 to go along with his plan to bomb the Sears building. These people had no thought of being terrorists until the FBI agent provocateur provoked this whole situation. It was as phony as a $3 bill. And this is the truth with most of the people who've been convicted in this country of terrorists. We haven't had the acts of terrorism. We've sent people to prison who are actually befriended by the guy. They were just like a father figure. They just loved him. They were generous. They would talk him into going off to Afghanistan to go to school over there in Afghanistan or Pakistan, and it would then turn out they were an FBI informant. And we've become a nation of paid informants, and their job is to get people, to agree to go along with these terrorist attacks. And I agree with you. If there was really a terrorist threat, they wouldn't have to pay FBI informants to, try to get people to, go into these terrorist activities. There'd be so many of them out there, why we wouldn't be able to stop them.
Staged again. But still, the sheer numbers,
right.
1 out of 10,000, that means we should have had 25,000 of them.
Right.
And I've brought this up to people. I said, where are the terrorists? Now, you and I know that the real terror is tyranny.
Right.
When those are to be our protectors become our oppressors. But that has gotten a few people's attention. That's a talking point. Where are all these terrorists? We should have our prisons plumb full of these guys if they're all these terrorist cells.
And I think you're absolutely right. I think it is an excellent talking point.
I thank you so much for all your efforts over the years. You have opened my eyes, and I've researched so much. And thank you for shortwave. I wish everybody pushed shortwave more because I'm afraid the Internet's going to start faltering. And I hope everybody gets a shortwave radio before the Internet goes down.
Well, I just hope we can continue to have the funds to be on shortwave. That is by far our greatest expenditure at the present time is shortwave. But it will keep hanging there as long as we can provide the funds for it. God provides the funds. I don't. That's for sure.
You need support. I love you dearly.
God bless.
God bless.
Thanks
Bye-bye.
So much. Well, our telephone number now is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we're going to be carrying a great new DVD on what happened on September 11th. It's based upon the architects for 9/11 Truth. Oh, somebody had called in earlier, wanted to know what I thought about Proposition 98 and 99. I think that Proposition 98 is an excellent proposition. I wish it were just dealing with one issue instead of two, although they're sort of interrelated. Proposition 98 in California deals with stopping them from taking people's property by eminent domain. The other thing is it stops people from taking away your property rights if you're a landowner and you are rental, you have a trailer park or something like that, so that you ought to be able to charge whatever your rents you want to. If the government wants to help people who are living in trailer parks, they ought to tax the public and certainly go ahead and subsidize the rents on people living in trailer parks. But it is not up to the landowner that you take away his property rights so that he cannot charge what he wants to or what the market would be. So basically, I'm totally in favor of Proposition 98. Totally against Proposition 99 here in California. And the fascinating thing is that all the newspapers, every major newspaper, is just exactly the opposite. They're all against Proposition 98 because they want the government to be able to maintain rent controls and, of course, subsidize the renters by the landowner rather than by the municipality. I believe the municipality, that the people want to subsidize those rents, they should be able to do it and tax themselves to do it. But you shouldn't force the landowner to actually not be able to charge what the going rate is on his property. And, of course, I'm all in favor of 98, which limits the right of eminent domain to issues that where you take the property and you give it to the government rather than giving it to one of your friends who wants that property for a development. So anyway, of course, I'm in favor of 98, against 99. All the media is against 98 and in favor of 99. Just goes to show you that either I'm out of step or they're out of step. And I hope that the people of California understand what this is about. Tremendous amount of money coming up to defeat Proposition 98. Very little money on the good side to try to support it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, of course, we were just talking about a great new video or DVD we actually have put out by an architect who studied what happened when the Twin Towers collapsed. And I don't know how many of you remember the pictures that day. I will never forget them. These clouds of dust, I mean, exploding out of the building as it came down. Now, if you really had pancaked that building, first of all, you would have, of course, not vaporized the cement. You would have crushed the cement, and there'd be all sorts of great big, chunks of cement in the rubble, but there weren't any. The cement was all vaporized. How do you vaporize cement? By pancaking it, and you don't. And the other thing is, of course, to have the building come down as it did, you would have to actually have the 47 steel, reinforced steel center parts of the foundation all divide at every one of the floors at the same time. And in other words, basically, 48 pieces of heavy steel, reinforced steel, was made up the core of that building. At each level would have to have dissolved exactly at the same time. If it hadn't all done at the same time, the building would have tipped over, but it didn't. It collapsed in its own shadow as you would with a controlled demolition. And then, of course, you look at some of the steel girders. If you see those pictures, you'll see the steel girders being shot out sideways. And, of course, on this new DVD we're going to be carrying, you will actually see many of these steel girders shot into, fired almost like with an explosion, into the walls of adjacent buildings. How would you get a steel beam, if this building was really pancaking, as we've been told, how would you get a steel beam shot as if it came out of a cannon into an adjacent building and then sticking out there, and not one but a number of these steel beams? You could only do that with the explosives. How was it done? Who did it? I don't know. But I do know that we have not been told the truth about what happened on September 11, 2001. How do I know? Well, first of all, because I know people were trying to get the story out or question what happened, and they began to get threatening telephone calls, and they get a threatening and harassment, and William Rodriguez, of course, lost his job and couldn't get another job, and which they would come in and they would search his room, his apartment, when he wasn't there, and do this over and over again to intimidate him. Jimmy Walters, a multimillionaire, spent $8 million on advertisements in the city of New York trying to get the information out about what was really going on. They did the same thing to him. Who was doing it? Why would Osama bin Laden try to keep Jimmy Walters from getting that information out? Or maybe it wasn't Osama bin Laden who was trying to keep Jimmy Walters from questioning what happened. $8 million was spent on newspaper and television ads in the city of New York. And what happens? Jimmy Walters comes out one day. There's a mammoth boulder sitting on the top of his car, crushing the roof. That's, of course, a message for him and his family. And, of course, he's living in fear and in terror and somewhere in Europe today. Nobody knows where Jimmy Walters is because of the harassment he had. And this is the technique that is used over and over again. People who knew about the strange death of Vince Foster. Remember Vince Foster, the presidential assistant who died very mysteriously, supposedly in the park? And yet I know people, and I've talked to them, I interviewed them, and talked to people who even could verify what was told. And the pattern of harassment, they had about 50 people who would harass him constantly. And, of course, Ambrose Evans Pritchard is a reporter from the Sunday Telegraph, and Chris Ruddy, who, of course, publishes Newsmax magazine, at that time went to visit this man, and they witnessed this pattern of harassment to silence him before he was going to go to testify before a federal commission about what he knew about the murder of Vince Foster. Vince Foster, a presidential assistant, was murdered. All of his files were stolen, incidentally, by Hillary Clinton, who many people think that Vince was her lover. But, of course, whether he was or not isn't important. She certainly wasn't going to come forward and tell the truth about what happened to Vince Foster. There were over 100 people associated with the Clinton administration who died under mysterious circumstances one way or another. But we never talk about that. Have you noticed we never talk about that when we're talking about Hillary today? We never talk about how when Hillary went into the White House, she brought in Jean Houston, a medium, to conjure up the spirit of Eleanor Roosevelt and Mandis Gandhi. Why don't we talk about those sort of things anymore? Well, of course, they control your reality. They determine what you believe, what you think, and if they don't talk about it, well, you're not going to think about it. Well, anyway, we hope that many of you want to get this great new DVD. We don't have the title of it yet, but we will have, and it'll be coming in very soon. And basically, it's all about the architects, and there's a group of architects who've studied the collapse of the Twin Towers and of Building 7, and they said that these were controlled demolitions. They don't know who brought those buildings down, but they do know that there is no way this happened as you and I believe. We saw the planes collide with the building, no question of what we saw. But that doesn't explain why the buildings collapsed the way they did. No reinforced steel building in all history has ever collapsed the way that those buildings did. And, of course, the biggest question in people's minds is, why did Building 7 come down? At 5:25 in the evening after the other buildings had collapsed in the morning, no plane hit Building number 7. And if you, of course, go to the Internet and Google in Building 7 videos and watch those videos, you'll see the center of the building collapse first, and then the base of the building collapses. Why is that significant? Because that's how you take a building down. You destroy the central core of support first. That way the building collapses inward. Otherwise, of course, the building collapses outward, and of course, it just falls to the side. That's not what happened to Building 7. It collapsed inward, and that was a controlled demolition. And there's no question in my mind, having looked at those pictures and having heard Larry Silverstein, who owned the building, said, we decided to pull it. We decided to pull it. That's why they got all the policemen out. They knew the building was coming down, and they didn't want to lose any more lives there. Wasn't that nice? So they pulled all the policemen out, and then they collapsed the building. And of course, the American people have never said, how did Osama bin Laden do that? Or was there some other reason for it? Well, this is Dr. Stan, sending your telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you're out there across America and would like to give us a call, here on the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. What do you think about what we're talking about? Do you think we've been told the truth about what happened on September 11th? Because remember, the incident on September 11th was what justified getting us into a war in Afghanistan. And then a war in Iraq. Well, of course, it was like the Gulf of Tonkin incident that didn't occur, and you can check that out on the Internet now. Now, there's lots of evidence it never occurred. And yet 58,000 American boys died in Vietnam in a war we were not allowed to win. And a million South Vietnamese and 2 million North Vietnamese died in a war we were not allowed to win. It could have been over much sooner, but of course they kept that war going as long as they could, exactly as they're doing in Iraq today. And already probably well over a million Iraqis have died. And of course, they will admit to 4,700 Americans, but almost a third of the young men coming back have brain injuries, concussion injuries of some sort, and they'll never be the same again. Another third has some sort of bizarre illness. These boys are coming back. Their lives are going to be ruined psychologically, physically. And where is the outcry? And it all goes back to what happened on September 11, 2001. We do know one thing, and that is the president did everything he could to avoid an independent investigation of what happened. And when finally he was forced to have an investigation of what happened, he appointed the 911 commission he supervised, who was on that commission. He insisted on the right to supervise what happened. He put a very close friend of Condoleezza Rice in as the counsel, and the counsel controlled everything that happened. Over 1,200 people were actually interviewed by the 9/11 Commission. Oh, the testimony of only 100 of them was used, and the testimony of the other 1,100 was sealed for 50 years. Why would they seal the testimony of people who knew something about what happened that day? Is it because they didn't want Osama bin Laden to learn, or they didn't want the American people to learn? I would like to suggest that they are so fearful that the American people will learn what really happened that day, because somebody is guilty of the murder of almost 3,000 American citizens. And now, of course, we know about Martin Luther King, some of the people involved in that conspiracy have come back and told Lloyd Showers, confessed to being part of the CIA conspiracy before he died. If you doubt that, you need to get the 4-tape set on the execution of Martin Luther King in the book, An Act of State. Tells the whole story. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and certainly we were talking about 9/11 and how they've been covering this up. They covered this up with a 9/11 Commission report. Who headed the 9/11 Commission? Thomas Keene, member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Who was the vice chairman? Lee Hamilton, member of the Council on Foreign Relations and a member, former member of the Trilateral Commission. And, of course, the council there was the man who really headed the 9/11 Commission and saw who was going to. There was a close personal friend of Condoleezza Rice, had written a book with Condoleezza Rice. Do you think that he was an independent individual? They did everything they could to keep the truth from coming out during the 9/11 Commission hearings. Oh, they got a lot of paperwork in there, but most of the paperwork, even put out by the staff, you've never seen. I read it all, or most of it, and there's no question at all that we have not been told the truth about what happened that day. In fact, Congressman Mineta, I should say Secretary Mineta, by this time he was the Secretary of Transportation, told about being in the basement of the White House immediately after the attack, there in the sub-basement where the whole military was being run by Dick Cheney. And, of course, as they're sitting there in the sub-basement of the White House, a young man comes in and says, you know, the plane is 20 miles out. And then a few moments later, he runs in and says, the plane is 10 miles out. The first time it was 50 miles out, then it's 20 miles, then it's 10 miles out. And he asks, do the orders still stand? And Mineta, said that the Vice President of the United States twisted his neck around and said, of course the orders still stand. Has anybody said we would change those orders? And, of course, you've never heard about this story. People asked, well, what were the orders of Secretary Mineta? He said, I don't know what the orders were. Obviously, Dick Cheney was in charge that morning. And we do know that, of course, they did not dispatch any interceptor planes to intercept the hijacked planes until it was far too late for them to be effective. There were planes stationed just a mile away from Washington, D.C., and none of those planes were actually dispatched. They did dispatch planes from 100 and some odd miles away, and they sent them out over the Atlantic Ocean so they'd be sure not to get to the Washington, D.C., before the planes crashed, or whatever crash in the Pentagon actually took place. But, of course, it's all there in the staff report, and we have all of this information. You're not going to get the truth from the controlled media. Because if the American people ever suspected that, of course, what happened on September 11th was not what we think happened on September 11th, and that it was not simply the Islamic terrorists who were behind this, but somebody, and we don't know who it was. All we do know is that if you read the book, and we have the book, we carry it, it's called See No Evil by Robert Baer, a CIA agent. Why, he will tell you that a high-ranking CIA official had told a friend of his, off the record, when the dust finally clears, the American people will realize that what happened on September 11th was not, a failure of intelligence. It was a triumph of intelligence. What happened on September 11th is not a failure of intelligence. It was a triumph of intelligence. That's why, of course, you need to get the book, See No Evil, why you need to get our little pamphlet called The True Story of 9/11, why you need to get the 3 pamphlet set, Foreknowledge 9/11. You need to get the book we carry called The Terrorist Timeline. The Terrorist Timeline, a very important book. And, of course, we have other books on what happened on September 11th. And we have got a number of excellent DVDs on what happened. We actually carry 5 DVDs on what happened on September 11th. And when you watch those, I think you'll be as convinced as I am that there's been a cover-up of what happened. And the people who murdered those almost 3,000 Americans have never been required to stand before the bar of justice. One day we'll know the truth. Now, they murdered Martin Luther King. If you don't know that, you need to get our 4 tape set on the execution of Martin Luther King. You need to get the book entitled An Act of State, written by William Pepper, who is hired by Martin Luther King's family to bring out the truth about what happened. And there was a trial. You never heard about the trial where Lloyd Jowers, who was part of the conspiracy, actually confessed to being part of a CIA mafia conspiracy to kill Martin Luther King. Our number, 1-800-544-8927.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
USA Radio News. I'm Greg Moore. John McCain is going after Barack Obama again over Iran. Speaking to the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee in Washington, the presumptive Republican president...